Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Sort of, kind of. It is Mraz. It is bogus. It's the DA show on DA's birthday. DA off hiking the wilderness. A couple tokens of Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe a McDonald's ball pit in his future. Nothing celebrates, 42, 43, quite like DA today as he hikes up a mountain. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan option in real time, Rocket can. At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogus, where you can find us, Bogus. Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, Sean. How are you? More importantly,
good.
This is about you and your health and whether you have the ability to do one more hour of radio. We're all, America is concerned for you.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I could tell you I reached out in the break to, see the potential for tomorrow. We might have a just DA and you situation. And I've been told they're going to work on it. So let's see. At some point, we're going to have to shut down the old pipes here, folks. We're going to have to shut them down and see what happens and go from there. But I'm battling through. It doesn't matter. Look, NBA teams are battling through.
You're not coming in tomorrow, so the battle's about to end.
I don't know if I'm not. I might. But does it do anybody good if old Shawnee doesn't get better? You need me for the stretch run. You need me for a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let's face it, the show needs me. The show absolutely
needs me. And the Yankee bandwagon might be leaving soon, so you need to be healthy to drive that bad boy.
100%. See, I have multiple jobs going on. Multiple jobs. Now, we have covered so much this morning on the show. John Rahm's big victory, but really, were your eyeballs on the U.S. Open because you got a little text or a little tickle, a little tweet that Bryson was winning the U.S. Open. So even if you hate watched, you brought it to. Was that good for golf? We broke that down this morning. We broke down an enormous Game 7 win for your Atlanta Hawks on the road in Philadelphia. Garbage rained down on the court. Booze rained down. Santa Claus nowhere to be found. Trust the process? I think not. Has Ben Simmons played his last game in Philadelphia? And Doc Rivers chokes once again, but give a lot of credit to the Atlanta Hawks and Nate McMillan and what they did. Trae Young disappeared in the first half, but very much appeared in the second half. And the Atlanta Hawks somehow, someway, left for dead in March, find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals. Out west, Utah was eliminated over the weekend. That led the Clippers, minus Kawhi Leonard, who we talked about earlier. When's he coming back? Is he coming back? We don't know. They go take on the Suns without Chris Paul. The Suns win a game one yesterday afternoon. Saturday night, fear the deer. I guess the Nets should have. Joe Harris just missed another shot. They lose this game. A classic game in my mind, at least classic living in the moment. At home, the Nets do in a Game 7, second time in their history. They've hosted a Game 7 in the postseason and lost. The other being with your Darren Williams Brooklyn Nets that lost to the Chicago Bulls. That was a bad look. This was far worse. Remember, this season was all about, are you taking the Lakers or the Nets, Lakers and Nets or the field to an NBA title? If you took the field, you will cash that ticket, baby, because the Nets are out. The Lakers obviously out. We said for a long time with the Brooklyn Nets, it would either be their chemistry, that wasn't a problem, or injuries if they do not win a title. And it turned out to be injuries, which is where our poll question is today. Do the Milwaukee Bucks deserve credit for beating the Brooklyn Nets in seven games? A simple yes or no. We really didn't get to tackle this hardcore. DA jumped on the show at 7 a.m. Eastern because, you know, he couldn't just sleep in on his birthday and eat cupcakes and pancakes like everybody else would have. No, no, no. And by the way, before I finish that point, Andrew Kaplan wanted to tease me and say I took off on my birthday. I did. However, it was to get vaccinated. So take that cupcake and shove it. I still would have been here had I not. But anyway, DA, you know, took to the airwaves, gave us his thoughts on Game 7. So we never really got this take before I get into the injuries in the NBA. And I think Bogus and I are pretty much on lockstep because we discussed this with DA. There is an undeniable truth to the Milwaukee Bucks and Nets series. And that is that there is no possible way. And look, if you're a Milwaukee Buck fan, you're gonna hate this take, but it's the truth. There's no possible way you could think that the series turns out the same way had James Harden and Kyrie been healthy. Heck, there's probably no possible way you think the series turns out this way had just one of those two stars been healthy. Yes, James Harden returned for the last three games. Yes, in many ways it was heroic. And yes, he seemingly got better in all three games. But if you watch James Harden's career and you watch James Harden with the Nets, if you watch James Harden in the first round with the Celtics, what you saw those last three games was not a healthy James Harden. It was better than what Mike James would have given them, but it was not a healthy James Harden. The moment Kyrie Irving went down in what was another big NBA injury in the postseason, in Game 4, the series shifted. Yes, the Bucks had won a Game 3. They won a Game 3 with the Nets scoring their lowest total of the year, and the Bucks tying for their lowest total of the year, which was only replicated from Game 2, where they lost the game. Game 3 was just about ugly basketball. Don't give me the nonsense about P.J. Tucker's defense, Drew Holiday's defense. Yes, those guys deserve some credit because they played sound defense in what the NBA is in 2021, but it wasn't as if you watched Game 3 and thought, boy, the Bucks really turned back the clock. This is some physical defense. The Nets don't know what to do. It was really just a matter of shots not falling. Sometimes that happens in the NBA. And Game 4 hits, and the Bucks come out fast at home. The Nets seemingly answer every bell. Second quarter comes, and Kyrie Irving turns that ankle. And from there on out, there was a big lead for Milwaukee in Game 3 where they completely collapsed and do what the Bucks do. And Kevin Durant had a performance for the ages. A performance that I guess you will talk about the same way you might talk about an Andy Chavez catch in a Game 7. One of those Aaron Boone homer where it doesn't end up in a World Series championship for the Yankees in 2003. I know that's very New York-based, but this is a New York team in the Brooklyn Nets. A performance all time, but in the end they don't win the series. The Bucks take care of business at Game 6 at home. Fine. Game 7, back and forth we went. I thought the game was fantastic. And when Kevin Durant hits that shot with 1 second left in the fourth quarter, I'm assuming Bogues was like me. You assume that's the death nail. The Nets are going to take care of business in the fourth quarter. And it should be noted, the Nets have themselves to blame too, because with about 5 minutes left, both P.J. Tucker and Drew Holiday had five fouls, and the Nets couldn't find a way to charge at those guys and foul them out down the stretch of the fourth quarter. But the Bucks prevail. They win in seven. And people want to throw bouquets at their feet and talk about how Milwaukee and Budenholzer answered all challenges and came at them. And I am here to tell you, and I know we're on all over the great state of Wisconsin, be happy, be excited. Your team is in the Eastern Conference Final. But do not be in denial that you climbed some kind of historic mountain. Because had the Nets been healthy, and they weren't, and there's nobody to apologize, the Bucks don't need to apologize for that. But the Bucks were not winning this series, and I think that was pretty much evident through the first two games had Kyrie Irving not gotten hurt, folks.
My buddy Justin Turman, who was on this show a couple weeks ago, did a really good job, had a tweet, I think, along these lines after the game on Saturday night saying, man, the Nets just need a fourth person to quit on their team and get moved to Brooklyn to maybe reach the conference final, which would be a very good troll Mraz-like tweet if the Nets had lost the Bucks with a fully healthy Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. The truth of the matter is this series changed when Harden got hurt and then changed again when Kyrie got hurt. The Bucks, I know, didn't have Dante DiVincenzo, but that's not the same thing. They still had Giannis and Middleton and Drew Holiday, and they still almost lost to Kevin Durant, half of Harden, and a band of merry men. I mean, if Joe Harris hits a three somewhere along the way, then maybe there's not even a game six, I mean a game seven, let alone the Nets winning game seven before overtime. So yeah, everybody needs to know their role here. The Bucks did a very good job, as DA laid out back in hour number two, of surviving Game 3, surviving Durant's 49-point game, surviving Durant's buzzer beater, basically, at the end of regulation on Saturday, and then really surviving their own uselessness. The Nets, to me, could have won Game 7 in overtime with one or two more shots early. The Bucks had nothing left, but Nets didn't have anything either. The Nets scored 2 points in overtime, 2 points in 5 minutes. It was the first 2 points of overtime, and then nothing after that. One more shot, two more shots, maybe the Bucks go, okay, we're done, and this is over. So, on one hand, you can say the Bucks were lucky because they were. They didn't have to play a full-strength Harden or Kyrie Irving. That's luck. But on the other hand, they took advantage, and they won the series in overtime in Game 7 on the road. So be happy, be pumped, but know that things could have gone much, much differently for you as you celebrate and get ready for the Hawks.
No doubt about it. And the other part of this is that this is not the only series in the NBA where you can't help but think things could have been different without injury. And that's just the fact. This is just the most glaring one because we saw the difference in two games compared to the other. Now, LeBron James spoke last week and was critical of the NBA for such a quick turnaround after the bubble in starting the season, condensed schedule, getting these playoffs. You know, they're going to run a little later than normal. Usually you'd be around NBA finals time by now. Now we're in conference finals time. And said, well, the NBA, you get what you get now with these superstar injuries. And crushed the NBA and say, now they get what they deserve. And I need to be careful in how I say this. We do not root for injuries. Look, you guys know I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan. I know I wasn't rooting for injuries to Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. I mean, to James Harden. We aren't rooting for injuries. But I am here to tell you that LeBron's take that the NBA All-Star injuries now have ruined the playoffs and it's the NBA's fault. Folks, I don't think the playoffs have been ruined, man. And I know we live and die by TV ratings. And I am sure there is going to be an element, if it's a Milwaukee Bucks or Atlanta Hawks versus Phoenix Suns finals, that you will not have the same rating you have with LeBron James in the NBA finals. But from strictly growing up an avid sports fan, an NBA fan, these, if I could separate my fandom of my team getting eliminated, these are some of my favorite playoffs I think I can remember. And I hate to live in that moment because the one thing that I separated the NBA from other sports about and always knocked the NBA for, there was no room for parity. There was no room to expect the unexpected. There never was. It was chalk, and it was the one sport that you could lean on always being chalk, and people loved that because you played a whole year to get to an inevitable NBA Finals that everybody saw coming, and then you finally wanted to see the two best teams go at it. But I love chaos. I love a good upset in March Madness. And I love upsets in the NFL postseason. I love upsets in the NHL postseason where we've seen eights beat ones before. I love the baseball one game, playoff wild card, and then a team going on a run and going to a World Series. I love that. I know people say the best teams from the beginning of the season to the end of the season should be champions, and I think there's room for that argument, and I totally respect it. But to me, the worst thing a sport can have is always be predictable. And that predictable always prevails and always wins. And I can refreshingly say, maybe for the first time in my life, because when the Mavericks upset the Heat, that was a big upset, but the Mavericks were a great team anyway. We just didn't expect them to beat Miami. This chaos, and if it is due to injuries, and a lot of it probably is, man, I've sat back and I enjoyed the heck out of these NBA playoffs, folks.
I mean, it has been two fantastic rounds. There's no doubt about that. But the Hawks really are the only Cinderella team left. I mean, there were a lot of people who thought the Bucks could win the NBA title going into the postseason as through the entire regular season. If the Suns or the Clippers get there, in theory, I don't think anyone would be shocked by it. Now that you'd be shocked in this particular moment if the Clippers get through the Suns without Kawhi Leonard and Chris Paul playing most of the series for Phoenix.
That's part of it, though.
But
that these are the Clippers.
So like, I wouldn't use the word ruined, and I wouldn't use the word chaos. I don't think we have chaos yet, unless we have the Hawks win the whole thing. I mean, that would be chaos. But, I mean, I am disappointed that we didn't see Durant, Harden, and Irving for multiple rounds. I'm disappointed that Joel Embiid was not 100%. I'm disappointed the Clippers may have to finish however long they play without Kawhi Leonard. I was bummed, and I know other people were not, that Anthony Davis was hurt, which meant that LeBron James now, at least partially, and I don't know, that series still might have been won by the Suns, but we didn't get full-form Lakers either. So Sure, parody is good, new names are good, but we could have gotten new names winning this thing without all of these guys being hurt and not being out there. So I think it's certainly good, but there's a little too much bad in this for me as well.
All right, I see that, and I will raise you this. The Phoenix Suns are here. They deserve to be here. And look, they just won a game without Chris Paul, which was enormous as well. But let's face it, the Phoenix Suns just climbed a mountain where they kind of, and we were doing segments on the show about whether they were dead right before Anthony Davis got hurt. That injury undoubtedly changed that series, and they survived the first round. Then they get to a second round versus the Denver Nuggets team, who lost Jamal Murray earlier in the year. Now, Jamal Murray is there. You don't even know if that's the matchup because the Nuggets could have been high or low. You know, anything changed there. But they didn't get the real Denver Nuggets, and now they are playing in a series versus the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. They have absolutely gotten every break. It's still awesome to watch, and they deserve it. The Clippers get to the series without Kawhi Leonard, so nobody wants to hear excuses from Utah. But Utah not having Mike Conley and basically having no point guard on the floor was a big deal, and then you take into account Donovan Mitchell was not healthy. Every road to this West Final has been marred by injury. And you don't root for injuries, you don't wish that injuries got here. But it certainly caused the chaos that we had. Now, you could argue, before the playoffs started, if everybody was healthy, you still might have picked the Clippers and Suns to get there because it was going to be that wide open and that different a season anyway. And you're right about Milwaukee, no doubt about it. They were a team before the year. Many would have picked to win the NBA Finals, so I understand that. They might be an outlier. But again, the road that Milwaukee got there and the chaos that it took to get there through the Brooklyn Nets injuries added a little something. And now, obviously, the Atlanta Hawks, which is odd because it kind of feels like the one injury in the NBA playoffs of all the stars that you kind of discount as Joel Embiid because he still was giving you 30 points a night, and it felt like it was everything else. So it's hard for me to pin that on it. But look, LeBron, I understand, and I think he had his rightful gripes. The NBA treated the players like they didn't care by starting the season in December, condensing the schedule, getting this in because they wanted to do it. But you know what? The NBA Players Association has some blame to go to because remember, when we talked about it, I mean, how many times should we talk about a permanent shift to the summer? And how many guys, including Damian Lillard, brought up, we don't want our summers taken from us either. So really the only way to adjust off a pandemic that everybody in every line of work had to adjust to was to do what we did with the NBA this year. And now we get it more back on track next year. So LeBron, I understand where he's coming from. But in the end, as a fan, you're bringing up that you don't like some of this. The inevitable road of the Final Four and what we have and what we've seen in the playoffs has been as chaotic as I've ever seen, and I am a fan of chaos, and these NBA playoffs have been great because of it.
And we're, to me, no matter how we slice it, with these four teams left, we're guaranteed storylines the rest of the way. Between the injuries, if the Clippers win, now they're in the finals, if they're never making the conference finals. If the Suns win, you've got Chris Paul in line for a title finally. You've got Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton taking another step and breaking out. If the Bucks win in the East, you've got Giannis in the finals finally. Or you've got Trae Young and the Hawks, as Cinderella as they come. Because don't forget, and we've discussed this more than once, in the NBA, we've had what? I think a 4 seed and a 6 seed win a title. Everything else has been 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
And the Hawks, coming from firing head coach in season, 6 games under, out of the playoffs with Trae Young plus Clint Capella and John Collins and Kevin Huerter in the finals, now that would be chaos. So we win no matter what, assuming we lose no more players to injury and or illness at this point.
Absolutely. So a great NBA playoffs, a lot of hoopla, if you will, as you can see if you're on watchda.com, Twitch. Search CBS Sports Radio there. Andrew Kaplan, who could still be having lizards lick his TriCaster as he handles work. I don't know if he's still in Florida. This guy really is a wizard. He could just snap his wand and end up working from everywhere. It's fantastic. All right, when we come back, how about a treat? If you listen in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour, I ask this in all seriousness. 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, you're in the car. Do you even know what soundcheck is? Do you know what soundcheck is? Because we rarely do it in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour. But we're going to give it to you. We're going to give you a little early treat late, if you will. Sound check next on the DA Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And as I say here on Soundcheck, I just lost a little bit of my Soundcheck sheet. I know we have Dwayne Haskins coming up here. I believe that's cut number two. And Bogus, can you help me out with cut number one as I talk myself into being an idiot here, sir?
Yes, cut number one is my good friend Chris Carino, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. If I may, this is his call of KD's game-tying shot in Game 7 on Saturday night.
Here we go. Game 7. Coming down to the final 6 seconds. Nets inbounding down two. Green lobs it cross-court to Durant. Guarded by Tucker. They bump. Head of the key. Turn around. Gone! KD with 1 second to go!
Chris Carino, Nets Radio. Bogues, it is such a shame for Carino that the Nets lose that game in overtime. And the reason that had to be included in Soundcheck is because it will inevitably, you give it a week, it will be one of the more forgotten plays in NBA history because it didn't matter. The Nets lose in overtime. But Kevin Durant, with a smidge of his sneaker on the line, came that close to winning the game with a three. And Chris Carino.
Oh, don't get emotional. I didn't want to do this to you, but we have had this show, going back to nighttime, has had you in tears over a number of different things that happened to your teams. Ryan Callahan retired from the Rangers, tears. Jeter leaving, tears. There's been anger at Dave Gettleman and others. There's Pat Shurmur. There's been bags on heads. Your reactions to these moments has been deep. It's been real. But I thought Saturday and yesterday morning as well, your Nets fandom has been called into question by multiple people, including myself. Like, are you really a Nets fan? Because we've never heard you get worked up about anything Nets related. Kerry Kittles, Keith Van Horn, Billy King, bag on a head. Nothing, none of that has ever happened. So if you want to here, let it out. If you need to rip somebody or cry, this do it for Nets Nation.
It's not a cry. I'm just so annoyed and so ticked off. Can I lower the music for a second, Pete? And we're going to get right back to the sound check. You know what bothers me more than anything? And this is where nobody wants to, oh, if you're a Lions fan, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear this, that, and the other. I get it. All right? Now, if you did the pecking order, of course. There's a reason the Nets right now come in at fourth of my teams because it's just been such garbage in the way the NBA was structured. They never had a chance to win a championship. Of course, I watch them and I enjoy them, but I'm never going to get and kick and scream and go nuts. I was also a fan of the Paul Pierce-Kevin Garnett trade because there was nothing to go nuts about. Why is it that every super team put together in the NBA in my life finds a way to win a championship? And the moment that the team I grew up rooting for finds their way, happens to fall into a big two and then a big three, how is it that they are the team that can't get out of the second round, that they are the team that gets hurt? You know, and I know this story's not done being written and there's next year and hopefully the year after. Folks, that's not fair. It's, you could argue super teams aren't fair, but when you have a super team and other super team fans got to experience their title, what happened to the Nets just wasn't fair. It's not fair. There's no part of it that's fair. They should be playing in the Eastern Conference Final. Now, if they got to the NBA Finals and lost some stupid, at least they got there. They're on the second round with Kevin Garnett. Not Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. It's not fair. And I don't want to hear about the Lions fans, the Browns fans, the Cleveland Indians fans. What happened to the Nets wasn't fair. It was not fair. And now we can raise the music back up. You argue with that?
No, it certainly wasn't fair. I mean, it's unfortunate that those two guys got hurt. It really is. And that Middleton and Giannis made some big shots. And I can't believe that, you know, Durant, I was texting with our buddy Mike Biseglia, former producer of Gio and Jones, now I think has the number 3 rated Uber Eats based podcast in America. I was texting him during the game. I said, I can't believe that they're toenails away from being in the Eastern Conference Final. I mean, Durant is 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet. I don't know what size shoe he needed. I don't know if he needed longer legs, smaller feet, but he is centimeters away from being behind the line for 3 and a 1-point win as opposed to a tie game. And I was not confident going into overtime, and my fears ended up being correct that they had nothing left in overtime. They were that close. I mean, and it almost shouldn't matter. Like, it should have been good enough to be 3 points. But, man, I'm with you. It sucked. It flat out sucked. But because they're not, for me, they're not the Mets, they're not the Rangers. Like, I was okay by lunchtime yesterday. You apparently are not okay just yet.
I'm still ticked because I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel with anything else. We joked about the Yankee bandwagon. I mean...
You weren't joking about the Yankee band.
No, I mean, like, I still can't. I mean, and I'm sure, look, you clip the tape. August, the pom-poms might be out. I'm very excited for Giants football this year. I really do think that they're going to be good. I think they're actually going to be a playoff team. But, again, thinking and them actually proving it to me is a different thing. It's different when things come together and you have, like, real genuine, not just you thinking they can win it all. Like, everybody thinks they can win it all for a team. That doesn't happen that much. And when the recent history of the NBA tells you that a team like that does win the title and it's your team and then they don't and they don't even get to an Eastern Conference Final, it is devastating. It's devastating. Now, speaking of guys who sucked and let down teams, Dwayne Haskins, now in Pittsburgh, mini camp with the Steelers. You almost forget he's the backup to Ben Roethlisberger. And the way Roethlisberger's injuries go, don't be shocked if you don't see Dwayne Haskins play. Haskins answering the question, did he start too early in Washington?
You know, this is like the nature of the business. You need to play, you got to be played, and definitely situations are different, and, you know, environments that you get into when you get drafted isn't always something that you can plan for or be necessarily prepared for, especially coming out of Ohio State or coming out of any college. I tried the best that I could, and, you know, this didn't work out the way that I wanted it to, but it's grateful to be here in Pittsburgh and thankful for the opportunity to just have another shot.
Okay. I mean, I guess he's talking humble. It's weird because the talent should still be there for Dwayne Haskins, that somebody saw him as a first-round pick. And even, you know, there have been a lot of people who've come out since and said, well, we saw major flaws with Haskins. That's why we wouldn't have had him as a first-round pick. Easy to say now when he's failed. Also, what does that mean you had him as a second-round pick, as a third-round pick? That still means that somewhere in there is a quarterback that every team, so to speak, believed in some degree. And who knows? Maybe Dwayne Haskins runs into his situation that Jameis ran into in New Orleans. Now, Jameis obviously had way more of a track record leading the league in passing yards and whatnot, but maybe a year behind Ben Roethlisberger, who, by the way, shouldn't be reluctant to show Haskins the ropes. I mean, he sees the writing on the wall that his career is winding down here as Rivers and Eli in the same draft class are out. Maybe Haskins, maybe the book is not closed, but boy, this just seems like one of the all-time quarterback flops in the first round, Bose.
I mean, he's a quarterback, so the book isn't closed until you're like 47. You officially closed and slammed the book yourself. I mean, there's always jobs to be had out there. And maybe this is the place where he gets his you-know-what together, because I will always believe, and Ron Rivera is trying to change my mind, that Washington might be the worst place in the NFL. So they certainly did him no favors, but he also didn't do himself or them any favors. So maybe he needs a new location. Maybe he needs the embarrassment of that flaming out. And maybe you're right, although I have no idea how this is going to work, but maybe Ben Roethlisberger gets in his ear just enough to get him on, you know, to get him right where he needs to be. Because I'm with you on, there's definitely talent, but there's no guarantee that talent needs to make a good NFL quarterback. That's as much up to Dwayne as anybody else. So if he's down with the commitment and showing up and being there and not making silly decisions off the field, then maybe he's got a chance to prove somebody wrong and probably find a job, you know, somewhere else in a year or two.
Now, for cut number three, Bogus, did you have a Father's Day brew yesterday?
Like, I mean, I had beers yesterday, but nothing that was, like, Father's Day specific.
No, I just mean it's Father's Day, you're a father, you crack open a brew. What kind of beer did you have?
We had a couple of brews yesterday.
Okay, I did not have a brew because I was on Sudafed and whatever else I was taking. I think that's a medicine I was given. I don't even remember. Tylenol PL.
It's good, just take it. Don't even ask questions.
Yeah, I was taking whatever I was taking. All right, so I wasn't drinking yesterday, as you could tell, laid up. But the Baltimore-Toronto's baseball game yesterday, they didn't just have a brew, Bogues. They had a brew, ha-ha. The Orioles hit back-to-back homers. I'm doing my Canadian bacon material here. The Orioles...
Yeah, we could tell.
The Orioles hit back-to-back homers. Mikel Franco steps up to the plate. And plunk Sarusky. Here's the call.
The pitch to Franco. And that slugs him. It hit him, and Franco's upset. And you can understand why. And the Orioles dugout is incensed. And here we go. The Orioles dugout comes out. And Franco telling them to come back, and so is the Blue Jays dugout as the umpires begin to intervene. And here come the bullpens. Mikel Franco got hit with a fastball right after Manoah allowed back-to-back home runs. The young right-hander letting the emotions get the best of him today. And the bullpens have completely emptied out. So far, it has been peaceful on the field. Freddie Galvis is being pushed away by Mikel Franco. And they get a little closer as the words get a little louder. And Freddie Gonzalez and Brandon Hyde are enraged.
Brett Hollander on the Orioles Radio Network. So here is where I'm a hypocrite. I love that call. And that's why I made sound check here from Hollander, because he sells this like it's a heavyweight sports brawl. And then when you watch the video, it's the same thing you see from every baseball fight. Some arguing, maybe some pushing and shoving. Nobody's really, really getting decked in the face. And perhaps, and I don't think this is hyperbole to say, perhaps there is no bigger waste of time in professional sports than when the idiots in the bullpen have to come running out from the outfield all the way down behind home plate and do nothing but, you know, kind of shimmy and push out of the way, only to lug their asses back to the bullpen. It is hard enough to get me to walk down the stairs for a snack. Imagine having to run out of the bullpen when you know that basically nothing is going to come of it. Bogus, one of the biggest wastes of time in sports, but Hollander sold it well.
I was disappointed reading your Canadian bacon script because it really had almost no mistakes in it. Everything was spelled basically correctly. Maybe there should have been a comma here or there, no big deal. Number three on soundcheck didn't disappoint. Brett Hollander on the Orioles Radio Network, ORILELS. That's not a word. But I will say this, my favorite part of this, the video of this not fight is Freddie Galvis actually gets picked up and carried away by Vlad Jr. He picks him up and walks him away from the scrum. So we didn't get punches. We had the stupid running from the bullpen. And you're right, those guys should fight in the outfield. They should not come into the infield and join the full fight. They should have a secondary brawl by themselves out in center field. That's where they should be fighting. But at least we got one man picking up another grown man and carrying him away from them not fighting.
Absolutely, and that is your sound check. And by the way, a couple of those guys had a bullpen wearing jackets. It's June, enough, we get it. You need to keep your arm warm. Stupid. So stupid. Brad Heller's back for his list headlines today. Brad, what's going on?
All right, guys, we'll start NBA playoffs. Game 7, Hawks beat the Sixers in Philly, 103-96. Atlanta was 0-9 on the road in a Game 7 until last night's win. Kevin Huerter led the way with 27 points. Trae Young struggled shooting, 5 of 23, but still finished with 21 points and 10 assists.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough journey. Took a lot of losses to get here. And for us, I think the guys who have been here since the rebuild, this feeling is a lot better than what it's been.
And not sure where the Sixers go from here. Joel Embiid had 31 points.
Home.
Ben Simmons, 4 shots. He only had 4 free throw attempts. He was terrible from the free throw line for the series, 33%. The Hawks and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 will be Wednesday in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, the Suns take game one of the Western Conference Finals.
Rondo hands it back to Reggie Jackson. Jackson on the drive. Pass out front. Bridges picks it off. Two on one. Bridges to Booker to Bridges. Wham, bam, slam. Oh, brother.
The Suns beat the Clippers 120-114. Al McCoy of the call on Suns radio. Devin Booker, 40 points in his first NBA triple-double. No Chris Paul because of COVID. He could be back for Game 2, which is tomorrow. Stanley Cup semifinals, Nicholas Waugh scored 118 into overtime. The Golden Knights beat the Canadiens 2-1 to even that series at 2. The Islanders and the Lightning are even at 2. Game 5 coming up tonight in Tampa. Golf's latest first-time major champion is Jon Rahm. The 26-year-old birdied 17 and 18. He wins the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines by one shot over Louis Oosthuizen.
As a father, on my first Father's Day, with my dad here, to get this one done the way I did. You know, on top of that, you add the fact that we got engaged here as well. And, you know, I have a very happy life. I have, you know, oh. I can say I'm extremely happy off the golf course, but this one might steal the show for a couple of days.
Oh, he's the fourth Spaniard.
You know what that just reminded me of? That reminds me of when we have a caller into sports radio that calls and leads with, "Hey guys, it's my birthday," just to have us say, "Oh, happy birthday, man. Yeah, good." Nobody cares that you got engaged, Jon Rahm. Nobody cares. Just enjoy your win.
Nobody cares that you have a viral cold, and that's all you've been talking about for 4 hours. The guy just won the U.S. Open on Father's Day.
So talk about
in a special
golf.
Place
talk
in his life.
Talk about your father. You need to throw in the engagement, too. You just
talk about the Bucks. Talk about the Suns, not your viral cold.
Nobody cares how great your life is, Jon Rahm. Get lost.
Well, Jon Rahm, he did get engaged at Torrey Pines. That's also the spot where he won his first PGA Tour victory. So he is happy, so I think he deserves a little bit of credit there.
Great.
But fourth Spaniard to win a major, the first Spaniard to win the U.S. Open, and it comes just 2 weeks after his six-shot lead was wiped out at the Memorial because of a positive COVID test, which knocked him out of the tournament. From baseball, another triple play saves the Yankees.
Pitch. Hit on the ground at third. Urshela steps on the back, goes to second, two, on to first. A triple play! A triple play! Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
What a way to end the game. John Sterling, WFAN, Yankees Radio Network. Yankees beat the A's 2-1. Almost back. They've won 5 out of 6. They've also turned 3 triple plays in a 31-day span. The 3 triple plays this season ties a major league record. Braves and Cardinals split a doubleheader in Atlanta. Last night, Ronald Acuna Jr. his 100th career home run. That was the difference in a 1-0 Braves win. They've got another doubleheader today against the Mets in New York. The Mets lost to the Nationals and Kyle Schwarber 5-2. Schwarber had 3 home runs. The Diamondbacks now 17 straight losses, 40 out of 45. They fell to the Dodgers 9-8. Albert Pujols, career home run number 673. The Dodgers a game and a half behind the Giants still in the NL West. Giants pounded the Phillies 11-2. The Astros, 7 straight wins. They beat the White Sox 8-2. They are now in a virtual tie with the A's atop the AL West. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Brad. We're almost back. We're almost back.
Right. No one cares about Jon Rahm, but please tell me again about a Yankee triple play, meaning they're on their way to a World Series.
I didn't say that nobody cares about Jon Rahm. That's an awesome moment that he won the U.S. Open. Obviously, here's the other problem. Whenever somebody mentions when they win the U.S. Open, it's the same post-match presser. Oh, to do this on Father's Day, as if it's unique to win the U.S. Open on Father's Day. Everyone wins the U.S. Open on Father's Day. So it's never unique that, oh, my dad was in attendance, Father. Can you believe this happened on Father's Day? Yes, I can believe, because if you were going to win the U.S. Open, you were going to do it on Father's Day. Then to bring up that it's the same location that you got engaged. What else happened at Torrey Pines? Did Jon Rahm lose his virginity? Did he pass his SAT?
Yeah, I mean, he might have. He's got a kid.
I mean,
it's all on the table.
Jeez. I mean, my goodness. I don't run down the list of great things that's happened in your life at Torrey Pines, John. Nobody cares. Talk about the U.S. Open on Father's Day. Move on. I hate people's happiness. How about that?
There it is. That's the sentence. You just can't stand him being happy because you're in your sister's basement, not feeling well. The Yankees suck. The Giants might suck. The Nets are done. So Jon Rahm and no one else can be happy.
It is a bad, I got to be honest, I'm a little cranky. It's a bad stretch for me right now. It's absolutely a bad stretch, but I'm going to bounce back like Jon Rahm did. I'm going to win my U.S. Open. I don't know what that is.
It's not tomorrow's show since you've already called out. So we'll focus on Wednesday.
I'm not out yet. And let's face it, knowing the roster.
Listen, only Pete gets turned down for sick days. You'll be out tomorrow. Don't
worry. That's right.
We'll see. Pete. Oh, Pete's here. All right. When we come back, advanced analytics, if I get them sent to me, plus your epic fail, the DA show next.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Ah, yes, the Mothership's Advanced Analytics. But first, let me tell you, the DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools like the Home Depot mobile app. With built-in image search and ability to access an entire rental department with a swipe, download the app to get started. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. All right, our poll question today was, do the Milwaukee Bucks deserve credit for beating the Nets in seven games despite the Nets' injuries? 79% of you, I need a deeper analytical dive to find out if this was the entire state of Wisconsin, say yes. 21% say no. What are you, nuts? Deserve all the credit. They played 1.5 stars. Stop it. All right, the analytics on this, by mind you, given to me by Pete the Body. Did you know I, Mraz, predicted the Nets would win this series in six games and that the Nets have never won an NBA title? I'm aware of that. And Pete tried to troll my Nets in six prediction last night on Twitter. What a doofus. This letdown goes up there with many other memorable moments in Nets history, including the team selling the rights to Dr. J to the Sixers in 76 due to financial issues. Very reminiscent of the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell, if you remember. And finally, our last analytical note. Today is D.A.'s birthday, Bogus. D.A.'s birthday. Happy birthday. Do you think he's winded down that hike yet?
No, I think they're maybe at the midpoint of the hike. Hikes are long, man. He wasn't leaving for another little bit. So I think they're on the trail, but I don't think they're done yet.
So D.A. going on a hike with his brother, although earlier in the week he told me he had a whole day planned with the Bourbon Bell. So, again, why the need for a day off? I guess for the hike, I don't know. But, again, we can't question the day off for two reasons. Number one, we said he needed to start taking days, and he is. And believe me, you're going to see plenty coming up on Friday, so me and Bogues. And number two, I'm already pre-planning a day tomorrow. So, nonetheless, I don't think any of us are in the position to be talking about days off. Huh, Bogues?
Yeah, and the July DA schedule actually would have been probably better off telling us when he's going to be here. I think those are fewer days than when he's not going to be here. But he deserves it. He needs it. You need your day tomorrow to rest up. Jordan didn't play another game the very next day after the flu game, right? I mean, right. So you don't deserve to be here tomorrow. So you go home, you rest, get rid of your viral cold, and hopefully on Wednesday you'll be back to home because we, as you have stated, the show needs you. We need you. So go, go get health. The Yankees need you too. Don't forget that.
Everybody needs me. And by the way, it's very easy to tell me to go home. I don't have a home currently. So that would
be true. At least you have floors though. That's a plus.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now, epic fail time. Look, I had to produce. I had to host. So I had to come up with an epic fail for today. It should come as no surprise. I went to the throwback well. I told Pete, I tapped on the arm out of the bullpen. I said, Pete, find the best moment that happened on this date in the last 8 years in the epic fails, and let's re-rack it. Let's just relive it. It's DA's birthday. There had to be something funny he said and went off on. So we go back 4 years where DA apparently just didn't understand the Wahlberg fascination. It's today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Also, the way that they delivered, I mean, Marky Mark, oh no, that's Donnie. Donnie Wahlberg. Donnie's Boston accent is forced. It's forced. Now, I think he's from Dorchester or Roxbury or something.
Well, we're in Dorchester now. This is where we grew up.
I'm sure they really have or had an accent, but I think he's probably washed it. And every time he says Boston Garden, he has to say Garden. Even though every other R he pronounces. He pronounced 95% of the R's in that narration except for the Garden. And at that point, it had to be the Garden.
It's the house we grew up in. 60 Mercer Ave.
And I'm like, why are you forcing this? Cube and Marky Mark. No, Donnie Mark. What has Donnie done? Can somebody tell me this?
He's got the Wahlburgers. Great show about the burger place.
Okay, is he the more famous one now?
All right, you got a deal. I'll take over the restaurant for one day.
No.
No, Mark Wahlberg is in every movie known to man.
Okay. And so
Mark Wahlberg was Marky Mark. Now he's just Mark Wahlberg.
Right, and he does like the DirecTV commercials now, and he's in all those movies.
Yes.
He was
Do you really not know Mark Wahlberg?
I get all the Wahlbergs mixed up.
Donnie's the one who looks like Mark gained a couple pounds, added a weird goatee, and could flip a burger.
I can't do a show about the Boston Police Department on your network.
And what's the most famous thing Donnie's done? I mean, I guess he was in New Kids.
New Kids. Blue Bloods, I believe he's
okay,
in.
So he's an actor as well.
Yes, great actor, I don't know.
Well, Marky Mark's not a great actor.
Oh, I beg to differ. I think Marky Mark, have you seen Ted and Ted 2? They were fantastic films.
I saw them.
I met a girl. She's a cashier.
No way, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, you know, what's her name?
Marilyn.
Nope.
Brittany.
Nope.
Tiffany.
Nope.
I saw them both, and I do not think that makes him a great actor. He's not winning an Academy Award for either one of those.
Well, that's on the Academy.
Okay.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Boy, if you need a chain restaurant burger or a movie about the Boston Police Department, you know the Wahlbergs are in. Bogus, a couple tweets coming in. Daniel tweets in, hey, Mraz, if the flu knocks you out tomorrow, I would happily take on Canadian bacon for you. Or would it be D'Alien bacon? What do you think of that? A listener doing Canadian bacon, Bogus?
I mean, I don't want to put any work on Pete's plate because we know how annoying the current work already is. But if we get a listener connecting on a clean line to do Canadian bacon, I am all for it.
Mike tweets, upside down Mike, he tweets a picture of his stupid face and says, my official statement is Ryan Pulock, the goalie is a beast. I'm having a good time on a humid Monday. Game 5 is tonight. Let's go, Isles. Adriana tweets in, you and at Mraz, he misses at you, Bogues, do such a great job when DA is out. With AB and Mraz on the beat, the only show worth listening to when a host is absent. And they kill it, even if Mraz hates the Olympics. Hashtag, unpipe it. How about that, folks? All right, a lot of praise. Thanks to Pete the Body for his wit, his banter, and running the wheels of
his
steel.
His friendship.
Today. Thanks to Brad Heller and his bed sheets for giving us some great updates. Thanks to DA for joining the show today. Boy, how hard was that for him to hook up? Thanks to Tremaine Ankrum. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch. Thanks to Andrew Bogues. And thanks to Mraz, your executive producer and host today. The mothership disconnects, I think. Disconnects, yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.